turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. We'll read a part of a verse, and I'm gonna try to preach on something here. In verse 13, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13. Paul says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, you've given us to gather in your name. We thank you for this these days, Lord, that we've put aside, Lord, to hear from you. We just ask you speak to us. We ask you continue to speak to us. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight, what you've done tonight, what you're going to do tomorrow and the rest of this week, Lord. We want you to not only revive us and to quicken our spirits, Lord, and our lives, Father, but we want to see the same quickening, Lord, in lost people. We want you to save people, and we want you to use us, Lord, to remind us, Lord, that this is why you called us. This is why you have us. This is why we set this time aside, Lord, to be reminded of this great truth, Lord, that you came into this world to save sinners, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know that little phrase right there in verse 13, I want to talk a little bit about it. I think it's very very important. And you know what? I think these meetings and when we look for a movement of God, I think we need to be asking God to quicken us, right? And that's just a word that obviously we don't use it in our vocabulary, quicken or to be quickened, right? But it's just a $5 word for to be revived, right? It just means to bring alive, right? And this is what we're asking God to do, right? Do we actually believe that God can do it? You know, the Bible says over there in John 6:63, it says when he's talking about, he's talking to the people and he's telling them that I am the bread of life. And he says, he comes down to 63 and says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
You know, God is the one that quickeneth all things. You know, we schedule a revival every single year, but it's not the date on the calendar that brings the revival. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
We're gonna have a series of meetings there in Puebla. We invited Marco Chaitis to come preach to us there in Puebla in September. But you know, it's not gonna be those series of meetings, or it's not gonna be Marco Chaitis that's gonna wake us up. We're not looking forward to seeing, Marco come and bring us or give us that revival. You know what we're looking for? We're looking towards God. Because he's the one that quickeneth all things. This is what he does. But you know, when I'm looking at this and I was reading this passage, you know, you and I as a Christian, we need to be looking for God to quicken us. To quicken us. Wow, that's a difficult word. To quicken us, to revive us, to make us alive. We need to be looking for God. But in the midst of looking for God to make us alive, to renew that spirit in us, we are busy fleeing and following. If you read that chapter, that's what this chapter is about. He says, I charge you, right? And then he says, God that quickeneth all things. But if you look at this chapter, it's very interesting because he says there in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. You know, when he says, O man of God, it's something very personal. It's not a general, calling out. It's not saying all you creatures in the world. No, he's being very, very specific. He says, thou man of God, flee these things. He's talking to you and I. He's talking to every single born again Bible believer. Women, men, children. He's calling us that we need to, he says here, flee these things. What things? What things is he talking about? You know, revival or being made alive or being woken up and walking and continuing in the spirit of being excited. It takes a little bit of effort. It takes a little bit of work on our part to maintain that we continue to be excited about what God's doing. That's why he says here, flee these things. What things is he talking about? Well, we can go back and we can see there in verse 4. He says, he is proud knowing nothing but doting upon questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse dispute. You know, we have to be careful of these things. Strife. You know, words. Words can hurt. When it says here, evil surmising, it's things that you're thinking about that you have no evidence. Yeah. It's like right now, I went out to get me a glass of water, right? I'm walking inside my glass of water, and Brother Lindell goes, "Hey, stupid." Well, that's what I heard. He just said, "Hey." And I go over there, you know, Do you realize that Brother Lindell cannot give instructions? He can't say anything without sounding mean. You know, he really can't. You know, me, when I go to somebody, how you doing? I give him a big smile. No, man, he don't got time for that. Right? He's gonna tell you what he needs to tell you, and that's it. Right? If you're looking to be pampered, you know, you go, I don't know, wait till Brother Steve comes next year or in December, right? You know, we have brothers that have that gift, right? They can, it makes you feel very welcome, but not Brother Lindell. I come in there and I hear in my head, "Hey, dummy, don't put this glass of water on this wood. Did you know we're not supposed to put water, glasses of water on this wood?" Well, you know now, right? I didn't know that. I thought it was just wood, right? I mean, it comes from a tree, right? And when it rains, it gets wet, right? What's the big deal? But I don't know. I didn't have time to ask Brother Lindell why not, and I wasn't about to ask him that. But you know, we have to be careful. You know, it has happened, I guarantee you, something as simple as that, and he was giving me instruction, do not put it on this table, put it on this little thing that the plant is on. You know, people can leave the church for that. Because what they heard was, "Hey, big dummy." That's what they heard. But that's not what he said. Right? Listen to me. We are right. We're, I think Brother Bill said we're coming down the downside of the mission conference right now. Listen, man, I've been blessed. I've been encouraged. I've been quickened. I've heard some things in the morning meetings. You know, during these meetings, I've been blessed by all the speakers. It's been really good. You and I better be careful because we still have an enemy. Right? And he still whispers. And he's probably the most faithful person in this room. He probably shows up before anybody shows up. Let me tell you, we have such a huge job to do. And we're constantly, if we're living to please God, we're constantly fleeing and we're constantly following things. And we're constantly needing God to quicken us because we get so tired. You know, you can actually get tired of sitting, right? Sitting is good. I like sitting. I like just relaxing. But too much sitting, you can get tired of that too, right? But let me tell you, when you actually do something and you're actually working and you're actually sweating, that feels really good. But you got to pace yourself too, right? You can't do too much all at once or you're just going to give up, right? We need God to be quickening us in our spirit on a daily basis. We need to not forget the words that he's using to revive us, to wake us up. You know, as I think about this, it says here, also perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw yourself. You know, there's some things that we have to withdraw ourselves, not only people, but things we have to withdraw ourselves from. It really is a danger. And then he comes over here in verse 11. He says, O man of God, flee these things. But then he says, and follow. Flee and follow. Flee and follow. The things that we have to be following are righteousness. Doing the right thing. You know, that's very hard. It's very hard to do the right thing. You know what the right thing to do this week is? To set aside the time to come and let God speak to our hearts. That's the right thing to do. But that's hard to do, right? Because I know most of the people in this church are very hard workers. And you guys are tired. And you guys that make it Wednesday and Sunday night, that's doing real good. Then to come for a whole week, that's a little bit hard. But you know what? It's the right thing to do. It says here we need to follow godliness, right? Faith, love, patience, meekness. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. How are we gonna be successful in taking on the good fight? In fighting and doing well and doing what we're supposed to do. Man, if you read this chapter, I don't know about you, but man, it's a lot of hard work reading this chapter. There's a lot of stuff here. There's a whole bunch of stuff that when I read it, it's very busy. Do you see yourself in there? Do you see yourself? I mean, just taking one thing at a time, fleeing, strife's words. You know what? It's so easy. We were down in Puebla, and Stephen and I like to, on Thursdays, we like to have meetings and pray together in the morning. And about a month and a half before we came up, we were talking, and we're talking about the meetings, and we're talking about the growth, and we're talking about the people, our brothers and sisters there, not really having the gumption and not really doing the things that we think they need to start doing, like, you know, sharing in the meetings and taking more part in the meetings. And Stephen said, well, John, and this is what I heard. Well, John, you just talk too much in the meetings. I think that's exactly what he said. And I said, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. The last meeting, you got up and you talked for 25 minutes in the open meeting. I'm thinking, you're timing me? I'm going to pull down that clock is what I'm going to do. But, I mean, all these thoughts coming into my head, and I'm thinking, no, I need to come. I need to have a message every single meeting. And Stephen said, you know what? We need to allow. We're at a stage right now that the church needs to stand up and take a part, and we're hindering it. I said, all right, whatever. You don't know what you're talking about. So the next meeting, I didn't say anything. And we had a real good meeting. he didn't preach. I didn't preach. I haven't preached in the open meeting since we've had that talk. I'm thinking, man, you know how close it is? You know that line right there that I say, you know what? I don't like you anymore, Stephen. I don't want to work with you anymore, Stephen. You know, I don't want to be around you anymore. Oh, let me tell you, it's work. We got to flee some feelings. We got to flee some problems in our own hearts. We got to be constantly asking God, oh God, quicken me. you need to revive me. You need to help me think straight. You need to help me to look at the big picture. Not just me, or not just focus on one certain thing. Let me tell you, we have this word here, quicken. And if you look it up, if you look up the word, it's talking about to make alive, right? Yes. To be faster. To make somebody stronger, more active. That's what quicken means, right? To stimulate. It's like spiritual coffee, right? That's what we're asking God to do, right? Oh God, revive us. Make me faster. Make me more quick. Make me more excited. You gotta give me this because what we see is not always good, right? We have these conversations, Stephen and I, and they're not always fun conversations, right? It's not always nice, you know, coming in and getting sometimes instructed in such a way that hurts your feelings, right? It's hard. We're talking about being quickened. We're talking about being caused to burn more intensely, to make sharper. To make steeper. I started thinking about steeper. That's interesting. Quickened. To make steeper. And I started thinking, man, you know what? That is so true. You and I are climbing and sometimes it gets... Have you ever climbed a steep hill? I remember years back when Brian brought the young people. And I guess Stephen at that time, he must have been like 14 or 13, somewhere around there. I remember Josh Kendall was there. Several of the young people. Mijah was there. Several of the young people there. And we went to Paricutin. A volcano, 9,000 feet, right? And I mean, I wasn't, you know, back then the, you know, picture of health I am now, you know? But we start climbing that thing and it's steep and we're zigzagging and I'm just dying and I stop and I rest. Right? And Stephen and Mijah and Josh Kennell, I think they ran up that thing like 10 times to my one. It was just crazy. They'd run up and they'd come down. How you doing? They'd run back up. They'd run up. And I'm just dying. You know what? You know the advice they give when you're climbing a steep hill? First of all, don't lose your breath. That's very important. But they say, don't stop. And go. You use more energy. You know the best thing that you and I should do if we're going to climb, if we're doing long distance, if we're climbing something steep, they say pace yourself. Even if you go slow. Right? Even if you're barely moving. It doesn't matter if those young kids are coming down 10 times and laughing at you. You just keep walking. You just keep walking. Because sooner or later, you're going to get to the top of the hill, right? Sooner or later, you're going to get to the top. Sooner or later, you're going to say, thank God, I'm never going to do this again. But like a dummy, I think we did it two more times. Walking up a steep hill, never sit down. Never think, okay, I just need to stop and just rest a little bit. You use up too much energy. You know what? Lots of times you and I, that's exactly what we do in the work of God. We think we're going to sit out a little bit. We're going to take a back seat. And every time you do that, it's a little bit harder to get going again. Right? It takes a little bit more effort to get going again. Last week, was it Marco? Marco, you said you ran. Where is Marco? He left already. You run, right? Is that what you said? You run? You used to run. Oh, you big liar. Well, last week I ran. I ran 3 miles, right? I think I probably look pretty funny out there. You know, people walk, you know, driving by me, they probably think, he's running slow motion. It took me about 40 minutes to run about 3 miles. And then the next day I didn't want to get up. Right? So then I go with Lauren to her gym and I get on a bike and I do another 3 miles, right? And then I go the third time to her gym and I do 10 miles on a bike. You know, each time it gets a little bit easier, right? The more you do something, but you try to stop. I stopped after I did 10 miles on the bike and I couldn't hardly walk. I couldn't hardly get up. I was like, man, as long as I was moving, I felt no pain, but you stop, you feel feel that pain. You feel, you don't want to continue. I didn't want to walk out of the, out of the gym to the car. Let me tell you, we need to ask God to quicken us. Right? We need to look at the, and this is what brings revival. This is my point. This is what brings revival in our hearts. It's God's word. Amen. Not a date on the calendar. Not a man or not a whole bunch of men and women. What brings revival, what brings quickening in our lives is God's word. And as an example, I want you to recall Caleb. You know Caleb, and we know the story there in Numbers 13, right? Moses tells him, man, God said, we need to go spy out the land. And he picks out these guys, and they're going to spy out the land. And they're in Numbers 13, they find exactly what God told them it was going to be. Right? A land flowing with milk and honey. A land so prosperous, so prosperous. Man, they had clusters of grapes. Huge. It had to be huge. Enormous grapes. How do I know that? There in Numbers 13, it says that they had to break off the branch and they grabbed it between two men and they carried the grape back. How about that? That was a big fruit. That was a big grape. That was a huge cluster. They brought the promises back to the children of Israel and they said, yeah, the guys there are huge. We're going to have some trouble. We're going to have a fight on our hands, but man, it's exactly what God told us it was going to be. You know how old Caleb was? The Bible says he was 40 years old when that happened. We see over there in Joshua 14, he's there. 45 years have passed. 45 years. Let's go to it. Look what it says. Joshua 14. I want you to see this. Here's Caleb and he comes in verse 6. 14:6. He says, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said. You know what made him still desiring that mountain? You know what caused him to be what he says over here in verse 11? As yet I am as strong this day as was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For 45 years, he has kept that in his head. God said, God gave us this promise. God told us that this land was ours. And he had to wait 40 years. He had to wait for it. But you know what? I guarantee you, this guy wasn't discouraged. Because had he been discouraged, he would have not been there. Obviously, right? Nor would he have brought up the whole conversation again. You remember, God said, you remember that. I want that mountain. I want that promise. We see this over and over. There's quite a few examples. If you just go through the Bible, and it really is incredible. These people had promises, and what kept them going is because God said. How do we maintain? We know God quickeneth the spirit. He quickeneth all things, the Bible says. So he brings revival and he gives us revival and he gets us excited and he gets us thinking about the promises that he has given to the church and individually to each and every one of us. And you know how you keep the excitement? You know, after this week is done and after the messages are over, you know how you keep that excitement and that zeal? Remember what God said. Maybe not so much the speakers or what, or the little funny things they said, or, you know, I mean, I know we probably do a little bit too much of that, and okay, but God still speaks through that still, small voice.
That's right.
And he speaks through his word.
Amen.
And that is when is what's going to keep you revived. Let's go to a few verses here and we'll end. We need that quickening. We need for God to revive us. We need for God to not only stir us up, but make us faster, make us more alive. And we know exactly what that feels like. I think every single one of us in this room who is saved remembers the day that God saved you. And how excited, how revived. We know what it is to have a burden lifted off our shoulders. And to be a son of the King, we know what it feels like. We know, we remember those times of old where we used to just be so excited just to come to church. And then something happens. Something happens during our pilgrimage here in this world. And we have to keep remembering God's word in our heart to keep us that way. It says in Psalms 119:25, true quickening, just three things and we'll end. True quickening will lift us out of the dust and shake some things off. Psalms 119:25 says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. You know, that dust, and that's exactly what we are. Our soul cleaveth to things, unprofitable things here in this world. And look, I praise God for success. I'm glad a bunch of you are successful, and I'm glad a bunch of us are striving to be successful in worldly things, and that's great. But you know what? Sometimes those things bog us down. Sometimes those things, we cleave a little bit too much to those things. And we need God to quicken our hearts. We need God to quicken us. And how is he going to do it? By his word. You know, dust is a pretty horrible thing. Have you ever looked up what dust is? It's your skin, right? It's people's skin. All the people that come into your house, they leave their skin behind, right? It's a crazy thing, you know? I mean, I'm sure, oh no, they clean real good here. But you know where dust gathers? On things that don't move, right? Maybe a few of us here are dusty and, you know, but I really don't think dust hangs on to us if we're busy, if we're walking around, right? If we're actually working, if we're actually, you know, spending our time. But if we just sit around, if we're just laying around, I think we can get pretty dusty, right? I mean, I'm talking figuratively. I'm talking about, you know, just as an analogy. That's exactly what happens. We need God to come in on us and help us not to cleave or help us not to attach ourselves to this thought. We need God to quicken our hearts. Another thing, true quickening will sustain us in life's burdens. Look what it says in Psalms 119. It's all in 119, 107. It says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. You know, a lot of people and a lot of us here are afflicted, and some of us very much. Some of us have received a harder lot in life than others, right? Some of us need more prayers than others, right? Let me tell you, it's God's word that's going to get us through affliction. It's God's word that's going to get us through the burdens, and hardships are going to come. But you know what? During this week, we've heard several Mexican missionaries, and last year, Polish brothers also spoke. And the thought that came to my mind as I was listening to the Mexican brothers that were up here speaking, I thought, what about all those people who started off 41 years ago? And they're not here to see this. They just didn't make it. They're just not here for whatever reason, right? I'm talking about the ones who got offended, the ones who gave up, The ones that said, you know what? This is just too much. People like Demas, right? Who loved this world too much and decided to go back into the world. I think that hurt Paul, right? I think that was a very big burden. But you know what sustained Paul? His word. God is faithful. You know, the third thing and the last thing, true quickening will break those bonds that lots of times enslave us.
That's right.
You know what happens to us? We have a habit as Christians of doing the wrong things and sometimes of doing nothing at all. And I don't know what's worse. I don't know what's worse if not doing anything at all or doing bad things. Doing things that we know when I say bad things, I'm saying doing things that we know we should be doing. Right? And we're just not doing it. And not doing anything at all. The Bible says in 119, 154, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. You know, some people are bound by this fear of not going out and out for God. You know, that shouldn't be a fear in our lives. But we do fear it. Because what are our friends going to say? What are our coworkers going to say? What are people at our school going to say? If I am all in on this thing, if I go all out as a Christian, well, you know, it says here, plead my cause and deliver me. We need to give it to God. We need that quickening from God. You know how we get this thing? It's very simple. How do we get revived? How do we get faster? How do we get stronger? How do we get stimulated again? And I think these verses in 119, the ones that I pointed out anyways, I think the answer is very clear. We pray for it. Right? Because that's exactly what he's doing. Quicken me. We're asking God to quicken us. We want to continue. We want to do more. We want to be fleeing things. We want to be following things. We want to be doing the right thing. And all this causes problems and we get tired. And the only way we're going to get to the end is by asking God, praying for God to quicken us in our spirit. And let me tell you, God can do it. I know God can do it. If only we pray with this type of faith that we have, and God can give us that. Amen? Amen.